Does your son speak Chinese to his wife, say, or?
My son speaks Chinese, but his wife speaks very little.
Oh, his wife was also born here.
Born in Poland.
Oh, I see. How many years did you send your children to a Chinese school?
I think my son, 5 years.
Uh-huh.
You see, those are not
Would that be like 5 years
standard,
back home?
No, not a standard school, you know. The Chinese school
was
only
yeah.
after the right. public school, then you go to attend it from 4 to 6.
Oh, I thought it was 4 to 8.
4 to 6.
I see. And Saturday too?
No. Before, yeah, Saturday too. But since the Second World War, no Saturday. Only 5 days. Yeah.
Where would you say his level of Chinese was at? After 5 years, equivalent to back home?
Well, at that time, I would say equivalent for 4th grade.
That's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
You send all of your children? You have, I think, 2 sons?
I have only 1 son.
1 son? That's all?
That's all.
Oh, excuse me. And he, I presume he got all his education here?
You see what I mean?
Yes, yeah. Did he ever go, say, to Hong Kong or any place like that?
No, he never leave this country except for travel in Europe.
I see. You told me that you went into business after 46, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which business were you involved in?
I just told you, first is import and export and Chinese grocery. Then afterwards, I go in the restaurant business, Chinese restaurant.
Uh-huh. Was that rather popular at that time to be involved in import? That was from 46 to 50s, right?
I tell you, the main thing is, at that time, a instructor in a college or a teacher in a public school earns nothing. That's why...
Nothing?
Before, I was an instructor in University of Colorado. I earned $3,600 a year. And I consider I'm the highest pay among all the Chinese instructors.
How many dollars is that today, equivalent?
Well, I don't know. I don't know, but that time, that's why at that time, public school don't have enough teachers. Who wants to go to teach because they pay so little?
$3,600.
That's a college instructor.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I see. So you went
and some of the instructor teach at the same time with me. They have only $3,000 a year.
Mm. So how were they able to make ends meet?
Oh yeah, you can be at that time $3,000 is you can take care of a family, all right, but not really a lot. You can't afford to buy a house, for instance.
I see.
Yeah.
So you went into what made you go into the import-export business of all the businesses possible?
Well, because the thing is that you. Easy to learn, and I can have connection,
mm-hmm.
you know, and besides in Chinese business in Los Angeles, either grocery market,
mm-hmm.
import-export, and restaurant.
You were doing import-export and groceries at the same
time? Yeah, all the big grocery store is doing mostly import. Export,
just
the name. Import from Hong Kong, you know.
Foods,
dry
goods and things like
yeah.
that, so
mm-hmm.
well, rice bowls and so on.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is that what you did? You had a retail store?
Oh, we have, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was that in the Chinatown, in the old Chinatown area?
Not all by myself. It's a group of us, you know.
Would you say that was profitable or much more profitable than being an instructor?
Oh, yeah, much more.
Relative to, for instance, what was your average income a year? Was it twice the amount of the instructor?
Not twice, but I would say at least 50-60% more.
Mm-hmm. And where did you have your shop? Where was it located?
Well, at the San Pedro at 9. And then my restaurant is in one in Southgate and one in downtown Los Angeles.
When did you start to have restaurants?
Well, when you are in the grocery business, you connect with them. They buy things from you.
Uh-huh.
Then when you know somebody wants to retire or wants to quit the business, and you think they're doing good business, then you just buy their business.
Yeah. You took over a grocery store on 9th and...
No, in downtown Los Angeles.
Oh, that's where the store was located,
yes.
Downtown.
Yeah.
But the restaurants...
Another restaurant is in Southgate. I have two restaurants.
Southgate and...
And downtown Los Angeles.
And which was right next to the store, is that it?
No, that's a restaurant.
Yeah, I was saying.
When I have restaurant, I quit this grocery business.
Did you think that the restaurant would be more profitable than
the grocery store? The restaurant is owned by me.
Ah, you're by instead of partnership.
It's a partnership. Many partners, you see.
From when did you start getting involved in the grocery store, and when did you finish?
I can't remember the exact day. It's about 8 years I was in.
From 46 to 8 years after 46?
No, 46 I was in China.
Oh, excuse me.
It's, I think, say after 48.
Uh-huh. 48 to about 56 then.
Something like that, yeah.
And then the restaurants. Were your clients of the grocery stores mostly Chinese who live around that area, or did you also have American clients?
All American clients.
All American?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so it was not a Chinese grocery store?
You mean the restaurant?
No, excuse me. I meant the grocery store where you were a partnership with several people.
Grocery store is mostly Chinese.
The clients were mostly
mm-hmm.
Chinese. Which part of downtown was it located in?
9 and San Pedro.
9, okay. That was the wholesale market, wholesale produce area.
That's the produce area, but there's quite a few Chinese grocery store and restaurant there too.
Oh, what was it called? Do you remember the name?
Right now it's called Wing Chang Long. Company.
Oh,
yeah.
Wing Chang Long. Isn't that owned by there's this name, man who lives on Gramercy Place. Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
Big Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He owns it.
He owns a lot of things in 9th Street, you know.
Yeah. He was he a relative of yours?
Well, we are cousins.
Oh, I see. Okay. I see. Ah. And then your restaurant, you started to have a restaurant in downtown L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
With selling Chinese food, right?
Yes, Chinese and American both.
And you were the cook?
No, I'm the owner. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So some owners also cook.
No, not in this restaurant. I employ 21 people there.
Where was it located?
It's on 3rd and Broadway.
3rd and Broadway. I see. And your clients were all Americans?
Well, mostly.
And then when did you expand to have a second restaurant, Southgate?
Oh, after a couple of years, I think.
Then business must have been very good.
It's okay.
Uh-huh. And so from 56 until recently, you had the restaurants, right?
Yeah, and until I retired. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which year was that?
End of 1976.
Okay. Do you think that this sort of switch of fields is common among the Chinese scholars or intellectuals, you know, switching from teaching to business?
No, it's not. It's only at my time. Being a teacher, you don't see any future in it. In the meantime, you don't earn enough.
Ah, yes. Your wife didn't work?
No.
Were there any other Chinese teachers you know? I mean, not necessarily teachers, but Chinese who were working in universities in some capacity?
Well, I know some go into business here.
And would you say most of them went into business eventually, or most of them stayed being poor teachers?
Well, I would know. I only know those my friends, and some of them stay in teaching profession, and some are not.
Mm-hmm.
So go into business.
If
you are not a Cantonese,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't go into business because you have no connection. Now, at that time, all these northern students, they have no connection. They cannot even communicate because the dialect, you know.
The dialect is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So they stayed in the academic field.
Yes, the northerners.
The northerners.
Northerners.
Was there a noticeable gap or a lack of communication between the northerners and the southerners, the students at that time?
Not the student, because we still communicate. All the students can speak Mandarin.
Even
I would say almost
from
everybody.
Even the students.
Yeah,
from
even from South. I'm from South. I speak Mandarin.
But you went to Shanghai first.
Yeah, but before I went to Shanghai, I you already learned Mandarin in Canton, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, start you in junior high school.
But what about then, if not among students, then was there any gap between the people?
If you're not a student, they don't speak. Yeah, they don't speak Mandarin.
Then what happens? They exclude you, or was there any hostility between
them? No. In fact, Chinese students among each other are very hockey, you know.
Yeah. Now, how about, say, businessmen or professionals?
Well, there are no hostility. In fact, there are very few northerners engaged in business at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The northerner here...
They didn't want to.
The northerner here, very few are engaged in business, unlike now. Now some of them have all kind of business in different cities, you know.
In your leisure time, did you associate mostly with what kinds of people?
Well, I think I associate with a lot of people.
Chinese, American, Northerner, Southerner?
More Chinese than American.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Any particular kind of Chinese? People with your
similar mostly, even now, my friends students at the in the old days, you know, we were students and then we become friends, and now we still always see each other, you know.
Mm. Were they, what I say, would you say they were mostly from Canton?
Mm-hmm.
And when you get together, you talk in Cantonese. Did you join any social organizations?
Well, social organization, we have our fraternity.
What?
Alpha Lambda.
From SC?
No, it's national. It's one of the biggest Chinese fraternity.
Really?
It's in every city here in the United States and every city in China until the communists get in.
Ah. Alpha Lambda. What kind of people normally belong to a profession?
It's the return student from the United States University. You see, Chinese overseas students come over here to study, and they form this fraternity.
Uh-huh.
Start at University of Wisconsin, and IBM, Harvard, and back in here, all these cities, Chicago, and so on. Now, when they graduate, they went back to China. They see a few of their members there, so they have it in Peking, Shanghai, Canton, Hangzhou, Nanking, and now Hong Kong, and Formosa too.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I see. Do you have to pay annual dues?
Yes.
Do you also belong to any family association?
Yes, Children Association. Look at all this. I do for the Children Association.
Well,
no, this is my donation. Every year I donate to all.
But you don't belong to the Wong.
This Wong
family.
You see, every year. But this is Chinese custom. Every year, if you are a leader of the Chinese community, you donate a little bit to show respect
to
all the organizations. This is my name, see.
This is which one is your organization?
Oh, my organization, Children Association. What this is I donate to them, see. And every one of it.
What's the difference between Hang Yao and what's it?
Hang Yao.
What's it?
The difference. Hang Yao is you can give any time. Hao Yi. When they have a certain when they have a certain special occasion, then you go send them Hao Yi, you know.
Oh, special occasion. Mm-hmm. How interesting. Well, you have to send to many, many different...
This is the Chulun Association.
Chulun.
Yeah.
Chulun.
Chulun Association.
What's the Chinese name? I can't even see.
Chulun Gongshuo.
Chulun Gongshuo.
This is a Zhong Gongshuo, but Chulun Gongshuo is...
Chulun. It's becoming an investment company now?
Investment company is a group of members that we form, and we buy land and buy property, and this is the investment company. I'm the chairman of the board.
It's a subsidiary of Chulun.
Chulun is a family association taking care of the family affairs. And this one is an investment company. Whoever voluntarily wants to go in and we buy property and among us, you know. The only thing is, members of Children Association can be stockholders, not outsiders.
I see. So it excludes people outside of Children Association. Does the Children Association comprise of the
all
last name?
Our organization, there are 28 organizations in Los Angeles under the Chinese Beneficence Association.
Right, and yours is one of them.
Ours is one of them.
Under your organization, there are four last names, right?
Yes.
I think you mentioned that.
Tom.